and is really, really grateful that he's passed on this wonderful that she's passed on to him this wonderful information, then that's simply setting a bad example to the children. And the job of the parents is to be mechanech the children, and the job of the mother, even more than the father, is to be mechabed the children, is to be mechanech the children, because she spends more time in the house together with the children, being an example to them. Therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, don't be mekabel lashon hara even from your wife, and maybe particularly not from your wife. There's no heter any more than with any other individual.
Started at the Torway, Northwest London, Friday, Asara B'Teves, 10th of Teves, 10th of January, Rabbi Yanki Wiesenfeld, Shlita, Golasid. District Torway is sponsored anonymously by the Ashurim and Chayolim by Miltonos, Shaksud of Tohem, Shalom Bim Heiro.
So, Rabbi, the title of the shir is Golos Yid. I want to just start off by suggesting a few scenarios to you of things that bother me. And they might be things that bother me and don't bother you. And people will say that I'm quaint and I'm old-fashioned and I'm out of touch and I'm a Golos Yid. Okay? If we go tomorrow night to Luton Airport on a Motzah Shabbos, you'll find somewhere in the departure lounge of the Budapest flight with Wizz, that there are a whole load of Hasidim going from Malava Malka to Kerestia in their full Malava Malka finery. And they're wearing their bekishes and they've got their 10.5-inch stramels. And of course they've got to wear the stramels because the stramels won't even fit into hand luggage and they'd have to book a suitcase. So therefore they're there and they're visible. Right, and they're very obvious, and my initial reaction is, do they have to be here, and do they have to wear the full garb in front of all the goyim? And the same thing, by the way, happens in Folkestone on Motzah Shabbos, at the shuttle. Is that a Chilul Hashem? Question, yeah, you said the word, but the question, yeah? Yeah, at the shuttle, they go to Reb Leibish from Lava Malka in Antwerp. So therefore, yeah, again, the same thing happens. What about a chosid in full... this is nothing anti-Hasidim, it's just that their garb is more conspicuous than ours is, yeah? The Chosid, right, who's in Thorpe Park on Cholamoid, yeah, going down Logger's Leap, hanging onto his stramble for dear life, not to lose it as they go down and splash into the water. What about Yidden walking down Golders Green Road on Shabbos, wearing their talus and no coat over it? Yeah, the open talus. More than that, Achnosa Sefer Torah. When we do a procession down Golders Green Road and we're holding up the traffic and the buses are late and people are late for their appointments and people are sitting in a taxi and the clock is ticking and it's costing them money because the Jews are making a procession on the street. And Rachmona Litzlon, we've got a tragedy in the Kehillah and there's going to be a Levi in an hour's time on Golders Green Road. And we're going to hold up the traffic again in order to make a procession up Golders Green Road in order to be Malava the Nifter. It's something, yeah? Am I right to be bothered? Or maybe we shouldn't care. So we're in the middle of Golos, right? We live in Golos. Our parshias are all about the first. Chazal say that there were dalad goliyos v'horos v'horos soyhu v'voyu v'choshech alpanei sahoim. Dalad goliyos. We're learning about the first Golos Mitzrayim and all the sedras that we've been having till now. Today is Asara B'Teves. Today is the beginning of the second Golos, when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim on Asara B'Teves, and 2.5 years later he conquered the city and Klal Yisrael went into Golos. And then we just had Chanukah, which was the third of the Golios, which is Golos Yovon. And the fourth one is Golos Edom, which we are experiencing at the moment. And the question is, how should the Golos look? What should be our attitude to the Golos? How are we supposed to react to Golos? So I want to make a suggestion on a pshat in a posuk in the sedra that we just read. In the Haggadah we say, Vayogoshom, Bnei Yisrael dwelt in Mitzrayim. Merlamet, that teaches us, Shlo Yorad Yaakov Avinu Yishtakeh b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov didn't come down to settle in Mitzrayim, Ela Logoshom, but to stay there temporarily, to come in on a visitor visa. That's what we're saying in the Haggadah, approximately 3 months from now. And when they arrived in Mitzrayim, Yosef said to his brothers, Elev Agidul Pharaoh, I'm going to tell Paro that my whole family has arrived. Anshe Miknehoyu, these are people who deal with cattle. Ritzonam of Koron v'chalashelahem heviu, they've brought everything with. Yeah, and then V'hoyoki kolachem Paro, and Paro will call you. V'oma, he prepped them. He told his brothers, V'oma ma ma'aseichem, he will ask you, what do you do for a living? And you shall say, Anshe miknehoyu avodecho minoreinu v'adato. We're people who deal with cattle. Gamanachne gamavoseinu, ba'avo teshru be'eretz goshen. In order that you should be able to settle in Eretz Goshen, ki servas Mitzrayim kol roi etzoin. That's the comment of the Torah. So, or maybe those are the words of it could be those were the words of Yosef. So what I see here is, and maybe it's a diuk I'm offering you, and I don't know whether it's right, but it sounds like Yosef was saying that to his brothers that you are roye tzoin, you are shepherds of sheep. But when you come to Paroi, don't mention the word sheep. Because sheep, right, the sheep is the avodah zorah of Mitzrayim. They already had the experience previously that when they were sitting down for a meal with Yosef, Vayosimu loy levadoi, Volohem levadom, Volamitzrim levadom, Hoichnimitoi levadom, that the Mitzrim kilo yuchlon hamitzrim lechel lemevrim lechem, that the Mitzrim would not sit at the same table as a Jew, says Rashi. Why not? Have a look in Targum Unculus. What does Targum Unculus say? That the Mitzrim would not sit at the same table as a Jew because the Jews eat the animal which is their holy animal. Because the Jews eat lamb, the Jews eat mutton, and therefore that's their holy animal, and therefore they would not sit at the same table. So therefore we know that tzoin, that the sheep is a holy animal as far as the Mitzrayim are concerned, it's an avodah zorah, and therefore people who raise sheep, and who shecht sheep, and who supply sheep to the butchers, and who eat sheep, these are people who are tzoi avas Mitzrayim. They are regarded by the Mitzrayim as an abomination. And therefore he said to his brothers, when Paro calls you, what should you say? You should say, Anshe miknehoyu avodecho. We're shepherds. But don't mention the word sheep. Vayova Yosef v'yaged l'Paro. And Yosef came and told Paro. Vayoyim, and he said, Ovi v'achai v'tzoynom uv'korom v'chol ha'shelohem bo me'ez Kanan. They've come with everything. And he took five of his brothers, and Paro Taka asked them, what do you do for a living? And they said, Roye tzoin avodecho. We are shepherds, you know what we do? We look after sheep, we raise sheep. Paro again, we've come to the land, we've come to Mitzrayim, ki ein mera, because there is no food, la tzoin asher la avodecho. Why do they say over and over again, tzoin? What?
Yosef said so.
He said, yes. He said they brought everything with them. Yeah? But
so.
He did say, yes. He did say, actually, Oviva Achai v'tsoinom of a korom. Yeah. But that could just be tsoinom of a korom. They're the private. I don't know. It's not muchach. I'm just saying a diuk that he said to his brothers, Amartem, Anshe mikne hoyo avadecho. And they said to Paro, Roye tsoin. And they said twice tsoin. Yeah, and I think that they weren't just speaking to Paroi. The Torah is recording this in order to tell us that they were speaking to themselves, and they were speaking to us, and they were telling us that when we go into Golos, and we face a Golos, right, Paro is worried. Maybe you're not refugees because of famine. Maybe you're not here because there's no food in Canaan. You're economic migrants. You're people who want to come and live in, you're using this as an excuse to come and settle in Mitzrayim. Like the boat people, yeah, and you want to establish yourself, and who knows what? And they said, no, we are roye tzoin. We are despised. We are shunned. We're hated. We're vilified. We'll settle in Goshen, but we need to be segregated from the Mitzrayim. We don't even sit at the same table as Mitzrayim. We need to be isolated. We won't integrate. We won't integrate because the people will they hate us. The people will vilify us. The people will. The Mitzrayim can't stand us. And therefore, we want to leave at every moment. The moment we get an opportunity to leave Mitzrayim, we're on our way. Don't worry, Paro. We're not here to stay. the Reb Shlomo Halberstam was the Baba of a Rebbe, yeah, and he says a vot on the beginning of next week's Sedra. These are the names of the Bnei Yisrael who are arriving in Mitzrayim. Eis Yaakov, Ishu Beisoi, Bo'u. That with Yaakov, their families came. And he says there's a change in the tense in the Pasuk. The Pasuk starts off, Habo'im Mitzrayimo. That they are arriving in Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk continues, Eis Yaakov, Ishu Beisoi, Bo'u. So are they arriving now? Or did they arrive in the past? So he says as follows. The Taftorah starts off, Habo'im Yashresh Yaakov. Yaakov instilled in his children that you are always, even when you have arrived physically at any destination, you are always Habo'im, your people who have just arrived. You're here on a temporary visa. You're an alien. You don't belong here. And even if Bo'u, for some reason, you've arrived in a strange land, you've arrived in another land, nevertheless, yeah, Haboim Yashrish Yaakov. And that's why we say in the Melava Malka, Haboim Yashrish Yaakov, that if Yaakov instilled in Klal Yisrael this feeling that they should always feel like they're here on a temporary visa, without a green card, without a passport, yeah, then Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, then that is the secret of our preservation, that we know that we don't belong here. We're here as temporary residents. Famous story of the Baba Vareba, that a decorator arrived in his house in order to decorate a room, and he called in the decorator, and he said to the decorator, he said, tell me, he said, what's your name? And the decorator said, my name is Desmond. Yeah, so he said, Desmond, he said, my name is Solomon. He said, and the reason why I'm called Solomon is because I'm named after the king of Israel who built the first temple. And at that time, the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, lived in the land of Israel, and there was peace, and there was prosperity, and we served the Lord, and he built the temple, and everything was perfect. He said, but sadly, after that, in the years that followed, we turned away from the Lord, and we started to serve idols, and eventually God took away our temple, and he scattered us across the entire world, he said. And that happened again a second time, and now he said, I'm here in New York. He said, but I don't belong in New York. He said, I don't belong here. I'm a refugee. He said, and as long as I can't go back to the land of Israel and dwell in the land of Israel and have a temple and serve the Lord, nothing can be perfect for me. And therefore, he said, you do the room, decorate it. You make some mistakes, you don't match the paper up perfectly, it doesn't matter. He said, nothing in Golus, nothing in the diaspora can ever be perfect for me. Everything is going to be missing something. When we have a simcha, a choson and a kala, the greatest simcha that can possibly be, the happiest two people in the world, as a choson and a kala, b'yom chuposom, we say, we still have to remember Yerushalayim. Our simcha is always tainted. Our simcha is always tinged with regret and with sadness because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we sing Im Loyales Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchosi, and we break a glass, and we put ashes on and they face Yerushalayim, etc. All these things, because nothing in Golos could be perfect. By the way, the PS to that is that the same decorator got called a couple of months later. He was recommended to another Baba V'Chosid. He turns up in the house, and it's a nice house, and there's a beautiful picture of the Baba V'Rebbe, like a portrait painting hanging in the hall. Yeah, and this Baba V'Chosid brings Desmond into the house, and he says to him, look, he said, I'm a very, very fair man. I'm an honest man. He said, I want you to decorate this room for me, whichever area it was. He said, the deal is as follows. He said, you do a perfect job, and I'll pay you perfect money. He said, if you mess up, he said, if you don't do a perfect job, yeah, then I won't pay you. That's the deal. And he said, Desmond says, that man up there in the picture, he's your rabbi. So the Rechosid says, yes. He says, let me tell you the wise words of your Rabbi Solomon. He says, and he repeats to him the drosha. But the point is that when we're in Golus, we have to know that we are temporary here, that we don't belong. That's the way that the Golus ought to be. How is the Golus actually? How do we actually react to Golus? How do we actually behave in our Golus? And the truth is that, unfortunately, that people adapt. So many years ago, a few years ago, I received some terrible news. I received a notice on an email from the KLBD saying that the recipe of After Eight Mints has been changed and that they're no longer Parva. Yeah, and Nestle had informed them that they now put butter in it and the butter is not Chalav Yisrael, and I got to manage without After Eight Mints. To me, you know, is there life after eight? I didn't know. And I tried them all. I tried the Eskal and the Gross and the Libas and the Paskesh and the Zohar. I had mint creams and mint squares and mint rounds and minuets and mint desserts, and nothing would satisfy me. And I was bereft, and I didn't know how I was going to survive. But I must tell you now, it's a few years later, and I'm happy with any of them. You know, things change. You forget, you adapt. Yeah, and now I can manage without. The an Eved Ivri, he gets sold because he's stolen and he can't pay back. Or because he's got chovus, which he can't pay. And therefore he sells himself into slavery for 6 years. Can you imagine the scenes when he's forced to leave his family and his children, and it's a heart-rending, very, very sad, terrible situation when he has to leave his home, he has to leave his family behind, his wife and his children. Sure, they'll be provided for, but daddy's gone. And 7 years later, or 6 years later, he says, "V'hoyo ki yomar alecho, ahavti es ishti, es bonai, ves benoisai. I'm happy in my new life. Lo yetzei chofshi. I've adapted. I've changed. I've forgotten my old life. I don't want to go back to my wife. I don't want to go back to my children. I want to stay." Yeah, there is a procedure, but he can stay. V'hoyo locha eved oilom. Then he stays till Yovel. Yeah.
There are two kinds of Eved Ivri. One can take a new wife and one can't.
Okay, but we're talking about one who did, yeah?
The one who can't is the one who's married already.
He's not married.
The one who can't is the one who the Bezdin, who sells himself.
Yes.
The one who the Bezdin sells, the master can give him a new wife.
Right.
I think.
And if he takes that new wife and he's got children from her, she's a Shifcha Kananis. Well, she's a Shifcha Kananis who's given to him by the Odoin. Yeah. He's happier with her now and he's forgotten already. People adapt. People change. I got used to the mints and he got used to the new wife. Think about the Bnei Yisrael. They came to Mitzrayim, as we said, yeah, as refugees, as aliens, as people who were forced by famine and to go to a land which they don't belong to and where they are shunned and where they are despised. And 210 years later, 4/5 of Klal Yisrael don't want to go out. After years and years of shibud, of terrible treatment, and yet 4/5 of Klal Yisrael decide that, v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, says the 4/5 of Klal Yisrael, 80%, died in the Makas Choshech. Which means that they, somehow or other, they got used to it. And even worse than that, when you see that in Parshas Baloischo, the Misoinanim, this is only a short while later, when they're in the Midbar, the Misoinanim, who are fed up of the Mon, what do they say? Zachanu es Hadoga, we remember the wonderful life in Mitzrayim. Zachanu es Hadoga, we remember the fish. Asher noichal b'Mitzrayim chinom, free food that we got without charge. The kishuim, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. I mean, the garlic they're welcome to, but apart from that, yeah. All the wonderful life that we had, and in Parshas Korach, Dothan and Aviram refused to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, "Hamaat, is it not enough? Ki helisonu, that you took us out be'eret zovas cholav advash, from a wonderful land flowing with milk and honey called Mitzrayim, la'amisenu b'midbar, that we should die here in the Midbar." People have got very short memories, and people adapt very quickly. So just look at our situation now. We're talking about the Golos that we find ourselves in at the moment. Look at us 80 years ago, Klal Yisrael, in 1945. 1945, at the end of the Second World War. Right, the whole of the world, I wasn't alive at the time, but the whole of the world pitied Klal Yisrael. They were appalled by what had happened. 6 million Jews had been wiped out in the most harsh conditions. 20 million people killed Bichlal. We were pitied by all the civilized nations, and the United Nations were our best friends. They voted to give us a land. And the families had been torn apart, and the Sheyus HaPleto, the people who lived in London and New York and other places, penniless refugees, in poverty, without any moistus, without much Torah. It was a very, very sad and a very, very poor situation. I have papers. My father, Zichrono Livracha, who was himself a Talmud, he was a refugee himself, arrived here in 1946, a Talmud in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, made an application to a communal organization, a 14-page application he had to fill out in order to make an application. Mrs. Jung was the administrator at the time. That's Pinchas Jung's mother, was the administrator at the time. A 14-page, where do you live? What sort of work do you have? What's your weekly income? Where do you have any money from? Etc., etc., etc. A full questionnaire that he had to fill out in order to apply to receive a second-hand jumper. Wow. Yeah, that's how... There were no clothes in there. You know, it was immediately after the war. There were no clothes to be had except the second-hand clothes of people who had been killed. Yeah, the poverty was unimaginable, and there was physical poverty, and there was Ruchnius poverty. What were there? There was Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, Schneider's Yeshiva. That was the whole of all the yeshivas in London. Wind the clock on, just 80 years later, and it's now 2025. Yeah, we've got millionaires, we've got billionaires, we've got investments, we've got 6-star kosher hotels, we've got streets full of kosher restaurants, beautiful homes, cars. We've got schools, yeshivas, sems, koilim, dafayomi, dirshu, MDY. We've got stockers, we've got charities raising millions of money for stocker. And we've got JLE and Osamech and Chazon and Seed and Roots and Aish. Yeah, the Yiddishkeit is incredible. I think maybe there is more Yiddishkeit today. There's more stocker, there's more Torah, and there's more prosperity in Klal Yisrael than maybe ever in history. We adapt, we thrive, we prosper. 80 years later, we're unrecognizable. You can't imagine how things changed. And that's what happens in Golos. We adapt to the Golos. We become comfortable in the Golos. We don't feel like our boyim Yashrish Yaakov. We don't feel like we are refugees, that we're unwanted aliens. We start to think that we belong here. But then we go one step further, and it gets even worse. In Bereishis, Mem Aleph, Nun Zayin, B'chol Oretz Bo Mitzrayim, there was a famine, and everybody's going to Egypt in order to buy produce. Vayayakov ki yesheva be Mitzrayim, and Yaakov had heard that there was food to be bought in Mitzrayim. Vayayakov levonov, and Yaakov said to his children, Lomo tisra'u, why should you appear in front of the Bnei Esav and Yishmol, says Rashi. Lomo taru atzchem, why do you show yourself in front of the Bnei Yishmol and the Bnei Esav? Ki ilu atem seveim, as if you've got plenty. Ki bo'os ha'shor adayin lahem, hoya lahem tevua. So the people all around them, maybe the people who couldn't afford the journey to go to Mitzrayim to buy produce, they were starving. And the Bnei Yishmol, the family of Yaakov, they had food. And he said, don't let the goyim see. Hide. Even if you've got food in the cupboard, go down to Mitzrayim and buy food. You have to be seen to be part of what's going on. And this is the famous Kli Yoko, which Rabbi Fine mentioned in a previous appearance, not this week, here in Torah Way. The famous Kli Yoko in Devorim Beis Tez Zayin. The Kli Yoko, Rabbi Lunshitz, was right. He died in 1550. So we're talking 500 years ago, and he lived in Prague. What does he write there? He says, Yaakov, Chen Yaakov Tziva Levonov, Lomo Tisra'u, the Kli Yoko writes, Yaakov commanded his children that they should not be Rashi says, "Befleish rov eso kilat hasveim," as we just mentioned, that you appear as if you got plenty. Why? Kishaneim soivrim, because Yaakov, because Esav and Yishmael both hold she Yitzchak gozal aslochas Yishmael, that Yitzchak stole from Yishmael, the Yaakov gozal aslochas Esav, that everything that we own, that everything that the Yidden have, the Goyim believe, belongs to them. It was stolen from them. It's the Bechorah that was taken from the Bechorah that was taken from Yishmael. From Esav. It's the Brochas that were taken from Esav. What we have belongs to them. Al Kain Tzivor Lachem Dafka Al Esav. Therefore, he commanded them when they were approaching Esav, Penu Lachem Tzafoino. The Loshon of Tzafoino is like Tzafon, like the Afikoimon, hidden. Hide yourselves from the Bnei Esav, he says. Vizet, right? In order that they should not be jealous of you, because they think that everything that you have really should have belonged to them. He says, Vizet Hefech, this is what he writes 500 years ago. This is the opposite of what Yidden do, Bedoyos Halolu, Ba'aretz HaSeveim, that we do in Golus. Kimishi Yesh Leimoneh, somebody who has 100, who Mare Esatzmoy B'mabushe Chovoit, he dresses well, Uvotim Sefunim, and he builds a palace, V'chashuvim Ki Lohoyo Loi Kama Olofim, right, he drives a Rolls Royce. Yeah, he'll tell you, it's on lease, it's not mine. He's got a palace. Yeah, it belongs to the bank, I've got a massive mortgage. Yeah. Nevertheless, kiilu hoya lo kamalofin. The goyim see that. Umegaim hu umas baatzmom. For every mamash neva purul chentzafoino. Uminagzeh. He says this is customary. This is common. Barabbas bnei amenu amongst many people, amongst many communities. Vuhu amasavus kolatlo asher amotz osnu. And this is what causes terrible things that happen to us. So basically, that we learnt that we are supposed to come into Mitzrayim and feel like aliens, and allow the situation, and encourage the situation where we are shunned, and where we are despised, and where they don't like us, and where they don't hold us to be citizens. But unfortunately, or fortunately or unfortunately, the fact is, we have short memories, we go into Golus, we adapt, we prosper, and we consider ourselves as part of the community. And what's the result of that? In Mitzrayim, Hovon Nishak Maloi. We have to do something about it. It says of Nei Yisrael, Poru Vayishritzu Vayirbu Vayatzmu B'moid Moid. Says the Yalkut Shemoini, Poru Vayishritzu Vayirbu Vayatzmu B'moid Moid. That the Bnei Yisrael spread across the whole of Mitzrayim in the Bote Tiatrois or Bote Kikasois, where an Egyptian wanted to book a place to watch a play in the West End. There were no seats available because the Jews had booked them all. And when they wanted to go to the Teatros, they wanted to go to the stadium to watch the games. Yeah, they tried to book tickets. Unfortunately, block bookings, the Jews have got all the seats already. And that started to bother them. Yeah, and that's what the Meshech Chochma writes. We haven't got the time to go into it. In the Parashas Bilcha Koisai, that when you decide that Berlin is Yerushalayim, when you decide that you belong here, and that you've got Torah, and you've got Panosa, and everything, if you decide that Golus is great, then unfortunately, says the Chofetz Chaim, terrible things will happen. In 1945, the whole world was on our side. 2024, how the world has changed. The United Nations against us, ICC against us, friendly nations, Spain, Ireland, Belgium, all against us. The top intellectuals, the universities, flagrant anti-Semitism on campus. We've got attacks on shuls, schools, kvorim, shlichim. Wherever you go worldwide, we have these problems. And the result is, therefore, to recap, just to run through very quickly at the end of what we're saying. It's uncomfortable, but regrettably, it is good to be shunned and despised and segregated. And that's what's enabled us to survive as Yidden through the Golus over the last 2,000 years. But we need to focus on the future. We need to think about the Achris Hayomim, the Auze Yaakov that one of the speakers mentioned earlier in this week, to say we are temporary residents and we're looking towards the future. We're looking towards the Bayis HaShlishi. We have to decide that Golus is not good. We have to believe that Lakewood is not Yerushalayim. And the rising of anti-Semitism is part of a repeating pattern, says the Oros HaMeach. It's part of a repeating pattern. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wake-up call. and that we shouldn't flaunt our wealth and our success in front of the goyim, because they believe that it all belongs to them. We should be focusing on Yemos HaMashiach, on the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi, and we'll be Zoicha B'mher of Yemeinu Amen.
What's your answer to the